Good to see everyone this morning. I hope that you're having a wonderful Lord's Day. I hope you're getting much out of the service today in our Bible studies. And I hope you're putting all that you've got into it. Because the more you put into worship, the more you get out of it. This morning I have a message. It's going to take me probably two or three times to get it finished. It continued to grow on me this week. But it is something that I personally have needed in the last few years. And quite often, if I feel like there's something that I need that's helped me, then perhaps there are others like me who can benefit from a message such as this. For a little while, we want to talk about prayer and the providence of God. Years ago, I used to hear men say to others that small ships ought to stay close to shore. And it may be that it is the case that as we study together on the providence of God, I may get my ship out a little bit into the deep. And if I do, you may have to pull me back in. Providence is not an easy thing to understand, and definitely not a very easy thing to always prove. But it is something, it's real, and it is found in God's Word. And so this morning we want to talk a little bit about prayer and providence. We will, Lord willing, continue the message tonight. This will be part one. Our lesson text is going to be James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, where James writes, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him." Here we find the prayer for the sick. Quite often we pray for those who are sick, and we pray for their good. We pray for their healing. And so, as we think about this, I want our focus, as we talk about prayer and providence, that's such a broad subject, I want to kind of narrow it down and just focus on how God answers our prayers when we pray for those who are physically ill. There's not a prayer that is prayed here that someone's name is not mentioned, or someone's situation is mentioned that is sick or in the hospital or fighting a disease, a cancer, or just had surgery or about to have surgery, that we mention them and we pray for them. We pray for their situation. We pray for the success of the surgery. We pray for their healing. We pray that they have life. We pray that they live. But you know as well as I do, there are times that perhaps we feel like our prayers are not being heard. There's times, although we know we are faithful at these times to God, we've obeyed the gospel, we've met all the requirements necessary in order to have one's prayers heard and answered in a favorable way, even though we pray, and we pray often, we pray diligently, we put our hearts into all of our prayers, we pray biblically, scripturally, it looks as though our prayers have not been heard. Why is that? When God says pray for the sick, we do that to the best of our abilities. And sometimes the sick do not recover. Why? Why is that? Is it that God has not heard our prayers? Is it that God does not want to see our sick folk made well? Is that the reason? Why? Perhaps there's been times when you've asked that same question. Why, God? Why are you not hearing me? Why are you not responding to me? Why are not you answering my prayers and the prayers of so many others? Why are you not healing these that are in need of healing? Why will you let them die when so many are praying so diligently for those who are in need of healing? Well, let us know this for sure, that God answers all of our prayers. You've heard people say from time to time, you've heard me say that God answers prayers in at least three ways. Sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says wait a while. But I want to show you something, it's even a little more, you can break it down more than that. I would say there's at least five different ways that God answers prayers that we read about in the Bible. Of course, one is God will just simply say no. Just like your dad, there's probably times when you ask your dad for something that you thought you just had to have, that the world was going to stop turning if you didn't receive whatever that was you was desiring. But your dad said to you, no. It may be that even after that, you may have tried to kind of backdoor him a little bit, and perhaps you went to mom, because you know sometimes you can reason with mom, and perhaps you may have went to mom first and said, mom, I really need this. I've got to have this. My life depends on it. I'll be the happiest person in the world if I can only have this. Will you go talk to dad for me? And she may do that. And he may be persuaded to say yes, but sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes you go to dad and he just tells you straight up, no. And you may ask why, and that can be a mistake. But it could be because he knows that you don't need what you're asking for, that it's not something that is good for you. You remember me telling you about when I was a small child and I always wanted me a motorcycle for the longest time, and every time I'd go to my dad or try to work with my mom, of course she'd tell me no, and then she'd say, go ask your dad, and he'd tell me no, and I just couldn't understand why I couldn't be like some of my friends and have me a little dirt bike. Well, later I found out why. He did not think it was safe for me to have a motorcycle. And I've never wanted one as I grew older, because that's what he instilled in me. He was trying to protect me. That's why he told me no. There were several times my dad told me no, and I'm thankful that he did. Sometimes our Heavenly Father will tell us no, and sometimes it's for our own good. He has reasons why he tells us no. Listen, he even told his own son no. In Matthew 26, verse 39, talking about Jesus, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it be possible, he was in great agony, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus asked his Father at least three times on that occasion, Father, please, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. That cup of suffering, that cup of having to die upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind. But God said to him each time, no, son, no. Sometimes God tells us no, doesn't he? He still gives us an answer, though, but it's no. And who are we to question God when he tells us no? And then sometimes he may say, well, just wait a while. In Jeremiah chapter 42, God's people were ready to repent. They had felt like they'd been punished enough, and they were ready to hear God. You know, God's people sometimes get very stopped up in the ears, and they don't hear God, and they do what they want to do. They become hard-headed. Well, on this occasion, they are ready to hear, to turn to God and be blessed by God. And so they asked the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 42, verse 4, to go talk to God for them, to go pray to God on their behalf, that he may free them from their captivity and their burdens, and bless them. And so they sent Jeremiah the prophet, and of course he said to them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord for your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Now notice, they had said, when you talk to God, if he tells us something that's bad, we'll do it. If he tells something good, we'll do it. Whatever he says, we're going to do it no matter what, whether we like it or we don't. And bad, I don't mean sinful. look at verse 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. You know what God said? I'm not going to answer you right now, Jeremiah. I'm not going to give my people an answer. We're going to wait a little while. And after 10 days, he answered. Sometimes God does not answer us as soon as we pray to him. Sometimes it's later. It may be years. It may be weeks. We don't know, but there may be a time when God says, not right now. Wait a little while. I believe that when I was young and I had a burning desire to be a gospel preacher, to go to a preaching school and to learn the right way to preach the Word of God, to get the training that I needed, to be able to do it, hopefully to the best of my ability, many times those prayers were answered by God, just simply wait a while. And I had to wait until I was 36. I was able to preach before then, but not to get the training that I needed until I was 36 years old and I went to Memphis School of Preaching. God said to me, Mike, basically this, you and your family are not ready yet. You've got to wait a while. When I thought I was ready in my early 20s, I was not ready. I was not ready. God knew that. I didn't. Aletha was not ready. God knew that. I didn't. And when the time was right, God said, go. He opened all the doors, and everything worked out so well. And so sometimes when we pray, God says, wait a while. It's not time. The timing's not right. You're not ready, perhaps. Wait a while. And sometimes God will give you something altogether different from that which you're asking. You ever had that happen in your life? You think this is what you need, or this is what you need to happen in your life, and God blesses you, he answers you, but it's something totally different than what you were petitioning him for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you remember the story about the Apostle Paul, who had seen great revelations, and in one sense you could say he'd been elevated because God used him in such a mighty way and gave him so much knowledge and understanding. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, talking about Paul, he wrote himself and said, at least I should be exalted above unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, that's God, said unto me, that's Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, Paul had that thorn in the flesh. Whatever that may have been, we don't know because the Bible doesn't clearly say. But whatever it was, he had a thorn in the flesh. He wanted that thorn removed, but God said, oh no, I'm not going to do that for you. I've got something better for you. I'm going to do something totally different than what you're asking. My grace is sufficient. Well, Paul was very satisfied with that answer, wasn't he? Because God knows best. And sometimes we may ask for one thing and think this is what we need, and God may answer our prayers with something totally different. That's a good thing. And sometimes God will give us the very thing for which we ask. Remember when Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain? That's recorded also in James chapter 5 as an example of how God answers prayers. In James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Watch this, verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. He petitioned God that it would not rain, and it didn't rain. And then he went back to God in prayer, and he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. Now, how many times have you prayed for something and God gave you exactly what you had prayed for? He does it all the time, doesn't he? Sure he does. Just like he did for Elijah, he does it for you. And then sometimes he will give you more than you have asked. A great example is over there with King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. You remember God was going to grant him basically a wish. I'll give you one thing, you choose it, you can have it. And you remember Solomon asked for an understanding heart to judge God's people. He asked for wisdom. That was his decision. He was pretty wise to begin with, wasn't he? But notice what God does for this man Solomon. God says, "Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart." Then he goes on. "And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor." You know, a lot of people would have asked for wealth, or they would have asked for honor, or they would have asked to live long, long lives. Solomon didn't. He asked for wisdom. So God says, "I tell you what I'm going to do, Solomon. I'm going to give you that wisdom for which you've asked, but I'm also going to give you riches. I'm going to give you honor. And if you walk in my ways," he says in verse 14, "then I will lengthen thy days." Oh, how many times has God given you more than that for which you've asked? That happens on a daily basis, most likely. If you could really just stop and count your blessings, and you ask for certain things, God gives you those things, and then he blesses you with even more. Have you paid any attention to the storage sheds in Baldwin County lately? When you start looking for storage sheds, they are everywhere. And they're several floors high. People have so much. And most likely you do as well. I would say God has given you all of that for which you petitioned at times. And then he's added on top of that many times over. Yes. So God answers our prayers in at least five ways. So, when God answers in the affirmative, my question is, how does he do it? That's what this study's about. When God says yes, or when God says, "I'm going to give you more than that for which you asked," or when God says, "Wait a little while and then I'm going to bless you," and how does he work all that out? When we pray for the healing of those who are sick, how does he do that? How does he not do it, and how does he do it? How does God answer our prayers today? You know, it's very clear. This is very clear in the Word of God. It's very clear that faithful Christians can expect their prayers to be answered. I'm going to show you how clear it is. I'm going to show you till you probably get tired of seeing verses. After a while, you're going to say, "Mike, I've got it." It's like my kids will always say, and if you talk to them today, they'll say, "Don't ask Daddy a Bible question. Because when he starts, he doesn't know when to stop." It's like, "Dad, I got your answer way back, 30 minutes ago." Faithful Christians can't expect their prayers to be answered. Several years ago, there was a man right here in this building. He was in his 80s, I believe. And he said to myself and some others, he said, "I've lived all these years and I've never seen a prayer answered." What do you do with that? A member of the church. I said, "Sir, you are wrong." Your wife is an answer to prayers because she had been sick and recovered many times. You've had prayers answered right before your eyes. You see, he didn't have a true understanding of what it means for God to answer prayers. He was looking for something miraculous. Well, God doesn't always answer prayers miraculously, does he? He had seen many prayers answered over and over and over and over again. I appreciate Brother Wayne's prayer. If you'll notice, in his prayer, he thanked God for the answered prayers. He thanked God for those who had been sick and are better, and those who have been going through surgeries and doing better, and for those who were having treatments. He was praying for the sick, just like James tells us to. Pray for the sick. Pray for the sick. When faithful children of God pray, I believe with all my heart that God acts in ways that he might not would. There are things that would not be done, perhaps, if we did not petition God in prayer. I'm going to show you why I make that statement, and I stand behind that statement. You see, there are those like the fellow that I just mentioned as a poor example of believing in God's word and prayer, who would be more of a deist. You see, deism, people that believe that way, they think like this, that God, as it were, wound the earth up like a clock, stepped aside, and it's just waiting for it to run down. Well, that totally disagrees with the statement that I made that when faithful children of God pray, God acts. You see, the deists don't have God acting. He set everything up, he got it running, and now he's just sitting back and he doesn't do anything. He just, I guess he has his arms folded and he's just waiting for time for everything to run down, to wear out, to die off. That's not the God of the Bible at all. Not at all. No, no. Look, I can show you one verse that proves that to be wrong right off the bat. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Notice this. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he, your Father, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God's not in retirement. He hasn't stopped being active. He's still making the sun to shine. You see, this is special providence. I mean, this is general providence. It's for everyone. God is working for everyone. He is still causing the sun to shine, and he's causing the rain to fall. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Listen to the word of God. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Sounds like God's still answering prayers. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and you'll receive. When faithful people of God praise, God acts. Listen to John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. One of my favorite verses on this. Two verses, a passage. And this is the confidence that we have in him. You like that word confidence? I do. This is the confidence that we have. This isn't something that's kind of iffy, shaky. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Kind of like when you ask your dad for something. Sometimes he say, oh, this isn't according to my will, so he told you no. Sometimes he said, well, you're not ready for it yet. Wait till you get a little older. And sometimes he blessed you with what you asked for, and sometimes he blessed you with more than you asked for. But if it's according to his will, look at verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, verse 14 says he does, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Does that sound like deism? Does that sound like God just wound everything up like a clock and he just sits back and watches it run down and does nothing? Faithful Christians are encouraged to pray to God, to petition God, to make your requests known unto God. In John chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus said, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name," look at this, "he will give it you." That's why we pray in Jesus' name, through Jesus' name, through the authority that he's given us to pray. We petition the Father. And if we ask in his name, if it's according to his will, and we pray in faith, Jesus says he's going to give it to you. Pray. Many don't have because they don't ask. Hebrews 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly." That's that confidence again. Confidently. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." That's God's throne. "That we may obtain mercy." Oh, how we need mercy. Every one of us. "And find grace." Don't we need grace? "And find grace to help in time of need." I'm always in need of God's mercy and grace. So I should always be going boldly before the throne of God petitioning him. Oh, aren't these words so comforting? Isn't it wonderful to read what the Bible says? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." When you think no one cares for you, you better think again. Cast your cares on him. How do you do it? Pray to him. Go to him in prayer. Talk to him about your cares, your worries, your troubles, your anxieties, your questions. Go to him in prayer. Cast your cares on him. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly," he's really stressing it, isn't he? "Above, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think." Sometimes God will give you more than you ask for. He's capable of it. He has the ability to do so. "According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end." Listen, as faithful children of God, you ought to pray. You ought to appreciate the privilege of prayer. You ought to appreciate the power of prayer. You ought to have faith in your prayers. And you need to pray diligently for those that are in need of prayer. Whether it's yourself, you can pray for yourself. You can pray for others. As we pray for those that are sick, we should. As we pray for those who are undergoing surgeries, we should. We should pray for those that are facing different kinds of treatment. We should pray for that, that their bodies will be healed, that their bodies will be mended, that they will be made well again. We find that throughout Scripture over and over again. Oh, we miss out when we don't pray for those who are sick. And so do they, perhaps. One of the things that stood out to me about Aletha was she wanted every child of God to pray for her. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but she especially wanted children to pray for her. Especially children. And so we need to pray more because God will act upon our prayers. But now I got to put this in there. This is absolutely necessary. We're talking about faithful children of God. You see, the Bible again speaks over and over and over again about those who are not faithful in prayer and the faithful in prayer, such as John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, those that are living in sin, continuing in sin, those that never obeyed the gospel, those who obeyed the gospel but left the truth, sinners. We know that God heareth not sinners. It's very plain. But here's the contrast to that. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. That's a promise. You've got a guarantee right there. Again, Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked. He's not close to them. He's not about to answer their prayers. But he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The righteous are those that do right. They're not flawless. They're not sinlessly perfect, but they're faithful. Notice Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. There's no need for those who turn their ears away from the Word of God to expect their prayers to be answered, any of their prayers, unless they're seeking forgiveness. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You see the contrast? It's all through Scripture. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God's not going to hear the prayers of the sinners, but he will hear the prayers of the faithful. That's a good reason for being faithful to God, isn't it? That's a good reason for hearing the Word of God. It's a good reason for being righteous in His sight, being covered by the blood of Jesus and being faithful to Him, so that you know He is hearing your prayers and answering them. In Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20, the psalmist "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But," see that contrast? "Verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Evidence that he was in a right relationship with God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. It couldn't be put much plainer than this. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." James 5, 16. "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed." There's not a one of us that don't have faults. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, a righteous boy, a righteous girl, availeth much. Don't tell me God wound this old world up like a clock, and he sits on his throne with his arms folded, and he doesn't do anything to help his children, to bless his children. He blesses the whole world, and especially his children. In John chapter 5, verse 7, 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you," it's conditional. You see that "if"? "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So, So it's very plain that when faithful people of God pray, God answers. When sinners pray, He doesn't. Just push that to the side. I'm talking about faithful Christians. When faithful Christians pray, God acts. God answers. And so we really need faithful people praying for us continually. I need your prayers. Others need your prayers. That can't be said of people of the world. It does no good for the people of the world to pray for us. Sometimes they say, "Can I pray with you?" or "Can I pray for you?" Well, I don't guess it hurts anything, but it's not going to benefit. And it may be an opportunity to teach, but their prayers are not being heard because they're not in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, the Bible says all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. And if they're not in Christ, then they are not entitled to the benefits of prayer as far as their prayers. They may benefit from your prayers, but not their own, not from God. So I hope right now there's no doubt in your mind about whether or not God answers our prayers, the prayers of the faithful. But we still haven't answered the question. We know He answers prayers, but exactly how does He answer prayers? How does He do that? And so, if you'll come back tonight, we'll continue our study on prayer and providence, particularly talking about praying for the sick. And in our day and time, we know God answers prayers, and we know that people are healed as a result of prayers, but how does God do that? How does He actually answer the prayers of the faithful? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one, to be one of God's faithful children. Because if you're faithful in Christ Jesus, you can see right here, not only are your sins washed away, but you know that God gives you an ear. And He listens attentively to what you have to say, and He's concerned about your thoughts and your needs. And He works on your behalf behind the scenes. But He's also already worked on your behalf. You see, it's also providence that God has provided, if you will, a way of salvation. Now, there were some miraculous things involved in all of that, but there's also a lot of providence involved in that. For Jesus to leave heaven, come to earth, take on the form of man, to live a perfect life, and to lay down His life upon the cross, God was providing for man something that man could not provide for himself. That was God's providence, God providing for man a way to be saved. Without the providence of God, no man can be saved. He has provided for us a way. And that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ, John 14:6. And there is no other way. There's only God's way. And you've got to be in Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27 teaches you that you must be baptized into Christ. That's how you become a child of God. And then be faithful, Revelation 2:10, unto death, and you'll have a crown of life. But while you're in this life, having believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16, having repented of all your sins, Luke 13:3, and having confessed Him to be the Son of God, Acts 8:37, and allowing someone to baptize you for the remission of sins into Christ, Acts 2:38, while you live until your last day, you can know that God is for you, and He works for you, and He works things out in our lives to our good, to our benefit. He blesses us when we petition Him in prayer. He blesses us all the time, but if there are certain things in our lives He wants to hear us request of Him. And when we do, He does what He might not would have done had we not prayed. So prayer is a very special thing, and we need to use it to the glory of God. If you're here and you need to respond, won't you come? Us together, we stand and sing.